Father in heaven, thank you so much for being with us throughout this Sabbath day. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us, guiding and leading us. And once more, Lord, I know that you never tire to bless your children. And Lord, we studied last night that you are so willing to give your Holy Spirit to your children. And so we're pleading for another portion of your Holy Spirit, a double portion, in fact, that you would inspire our hearts and our minds as we look into a very familiar story, that you would speak to our hearts and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've not already guessed from the description or the title that you've seen coming in, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verse 32, from where we get our sermon title this evening. Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Let's turn our Bibles there. Very, very short verse. It's not as short as what you find in John chapter 11, where Jesus wept, but it is close. It comes second. Luke chapter 17, verse 32, the Bible says, "Remember Lot's wife. She is famous for turning back and looking at Sodom when God was pouring out that fire, and she turned into a pillar of salt." You know, Jesus is the one that reminds us here of this unfortunate incident. And there are lessons for us to learn from it this evening as we go back into the Old Testament and look at what happened and how it is and the circumstances that led up to this point for Lot's wife to be turned into a pillar of salt. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to start there in verse 1. Genesis chapter 13, we're starting in verse 1. Please turn with me in your Bibles. Let's follow along. Verse 1, "And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land." You know, friends, Abraham had been blessed. He was the one that was an inheritor of God's promise. And he was the one that went out. But Lot, his nephew, tagged along. And it came to this point when the land was not able to support both of them. They were too rich. And you know what? There began to be strife between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram. And you know what's very interesting? The Bible says here in verse 7 that the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Always, 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 the world is watching on to see how God's children deal with each other. Between Abram and Lot, there was strife. And there, the Canaanite and the Perizzite were watching, seeing what would happen. Verse 8, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be what? Brethren." You know what? They weren't brothers. It was uncle and nephew situation. But yet Abram brought himself down to the level of Lot, and he says, "We are brothers. Let's not fight." Verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram, the uncle, he was older than Lot, and yet he allowed Lot, the younger one, to choose first. How many of us would have acted differently, eh? How many of us would have said, "Hey, I have the right, I'm older, My children, well, if he had, he didn't have children at that time, but if he did, he would have said, look, my children are the same level as you. I ought to go first. You know, respect is a very big thing in Eastern culture, which is very similar to the Jewish culture, you know. But yet Abraham said, you choose first, and wherever you go, I'll go opposite. And he chose Sodom. It was like the Garden of Eden, the Bible says. That's how fertile this land was. Even like Egypt, we can't imagine it today, can we? But let's continue. Verse 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Friends, he wasn't in Sodom yet, but this was the first step that he took in a downward spiral that was wrong. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He wasn't there yet, but eventually he would end up living in the city of Sodom. And friends, that's the first step that he took in the wrong direction as he began to look for the modern conveniences as he pitched his tent toward that direction. Let's continue. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15 now. At this time, Jesus has met with Abraham and he told him his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's been pleading and pleading. He brought that number down to 10 and said, God, please don't destroy Sodom if there is 10 righteous people there. And the angels have come into the city, two of them, ready to warn Lot about what God is about to do. And look at verse 15. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. You know, he lingered to obey. The decision had been made already. God had already decided he was going to destroy that whole Sodom and Gomorrah. And here was Lot. He lingered to obey. The angels had to come in themselves and take hold of Lot with their own hands and drag them, it seemed, out of the city, unwilling to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Friends, why did he hesitate? Why did he linger? Maybe because he still had children in the city. He had gone and begged for them to follow him, but they just laughed at him, thinking that he was crazy and an old foolish man. Maybe he didn't think that God would really destroy the city while he was yet in it. Maybe he had so many possessions in Sodom that he was trying to think how he could carry all of it out with him. Sodom was tied to his heart, dear friends. Do you have things in your life that is making you hard to hesitate, making it hard for you to follow Jesus, and you're hesitating? Is it making you think twice? Maybe some of us will be so tied to our lands and our houses. You know, Ellen White says that there will be some that will be perishing with their gold and their silver at the end of time, you know. Have you come to this point where maybe the world has tied you down so much that even though your greatest desire is to follow Jesus and you want to get out of the city or you want to leave your job or whatever it is, it's very difficult for you to do that? Lot, he hesitated. He found it difficult, friends. The angels had to come in and drag him out. And so that was his second step in this downward spiral that would eventually lead to Jesus saying, remember Lot's wife. He lingered, friends. He lingered. Step number three. We're still in Genesis chapter 19, now in verse 17. The Bible says, and it came to pass when they had been brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. This was the directive that the angels gave to Lot. I mean, if an angel messenger came to me and said such a thing, wow, how I would have been quick to obey. At least that's what we think, isn't it? But look at what Lot says in reply, verse 18. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to this mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Can you believe it? Lot says to the angel, Oh, no, I can't go to the mountain, in case some evil overtake me and I die there. We really have some twisted thinking sometimes, isn't it? We are really not that much different from Lot. But you know what he's saying? This angel is trying to save my life, and if I go to the mountain, I'm going to die there. God, I've never lived in the country before. I don't know how to live in the country. A snake might bite me. And you know, friends, I'm a city boy through and through. You know, one of the things that really stops me from going to the country, I've resisted it. I've been more soft at heart in these recent years, especially of what's taking place in the cities nowadays, but especially with three children growing up. But I tell people all the time, I'm not a country boy. Snakes? Here in Malaysia? I mean, here in the city already, we deal with so many cockroaches. And then you got bugs, you got to put up fly screens, and you know, you got to close the windows at night or make sure that they don't creep in. And when they do, it's so annoying, and so many different things. I think about my kids getting bitten by snakes. The big thing is snakes, you know. And then there's so many other bugs out there to bite you, and tons of mosquitoes. You know, I'm so glad I live in the 8th floor here and we don't get any mosquitoes. We got so many reasons, isn't it? I know I do. I'm not saying that I'm not like not Lot, and that's why I'm preaching to you guys. Look, we give God so many reasons sometimes why we cannot follow Him. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be thither. Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. And while he what? Lingered. There we go again. While he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. There we go again. Lot was lingering, but he was bargaining with God. He was bargaining with the angels. He didn't seem to trust God's leading when he said to him, get out of the city and go into the mountain. You know, friends, sometimes we think we know better than God. Sometimes we act that way, isn't it? We say, God, I know better. But do we really? You know, sometimes you tell God, God, if I don't work on the Sabbath, I'll lose my job. God, if I give tithes and offerings, I won't have enough to pay my bills and survive this next month. God, if I don't drink tea and coffee, I will not be able to be attentive and give the best in my work or my studies. God, if I break up with my non-SDA girlfriend, I'm going to be single forever. No one's going to want me. You know, we give God so many reasons. We give Him so many reasons as why we think we know better. But do we really? Sometimes, as we're going to see here in Lot's case, it's going to be at the expense of the life of other people. You know, friends, what was the result of Lot's lingering and Lot's bargaining? He lost his wife. His two daughters committed incest with him and slept with him. They gave birth to two nations that would be the enemies of God's people. Sodom had followed him all the way out into the mountain. You know, when the Sodom was destroyed by fire, the wife turned back and she became a pillar of salt. They escaped to that city, but eventually they would go up to the mountain. Eventually they would trust God, that God knew what he was doing. It was in the mountain where he found safety. It was in the directive of God that he found safety. Friends, I'm not saying that you have to go to the country today. We got to be balanced in understanding how God is leading each and every one of us. That should be our goal. That should be our aim. And we also need to figure out how we can work the cities from the country as well, not just to escape there and hide until Jesus' second coming. That's selfish too, you know. But God knows best. And sometimes in our delay, we hurt other people. We hurt other people. I want to show you what Peter calls Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Let's turn our Bibles there. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Look at what Peter calls Lot. 2 Peter 2, 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should after live ungodly. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Oh, he was upset at what he heard in the conversations that they see in the city there. But it affected their daughters. It affected his wife. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh, Lot was called a righteous man for sure. That's what the Bible says. He is a saved man, it seems. It seems that we're going to meet him in heaven one day. But his decision, it affected his daughters and his wife. He pretty much lost his whole family. We don't know if we're going to see those two daughters in heaven. Chances are very slim. We don't know if we're going to see Lot's wife in heaven. The last act seems to indicate that she's going to be lost. Will we see Lot there? Yes. But he's going to be missing his whole tribe. Do you understand that? Whilst there's going to be this great reunion on the resurrection morning, Lot's going to wake up and all that were under him are not going to be there. Dear friends, this places a great responsibility on fathers today. The decisions that you are making are going to affect us for time and eternity, and not just that, it's going to affect those that follow us. Friends, we've got to be careful not to linger. We've got to be careful not to bargain with God, thinking that we know better. We got to make haste today. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 119 and verse 60. Psalms 119 and verse 60. The Bible says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Let's make haste to obey today. Let's make sure that when we hear the word of God, that we're not going to bargain with God. We're not going to talk to God and say, God, you got to make it more abundantly clear. When he's given us weight of evidence already. Friends, if you see the truth today, let us make haste and not linger to obey. By the grace of God, he's the one that has to give us strength. He's the one that has to give us that platform on which to stand upon. But he's the one that gives us that directive. And if he is the one that called us, faithful is he that will help us to see it through to the very end. Let's also turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, the Bible says, and now, why tarriest thou? Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Friends, there are some of you that are just tarrying, that are lingering, that are delaying to get baptized. Why? You see the world and all the pleasures, and somehow you feel sad that if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to lose all these things. Friends, let us not delay. Let us not tarry. Don't you think that Jesus has the best in mind for you? Don't you think that he loves you? That he wants you to enjoy this life as well as the life to come? That when he asks you to sacrifice certain things, that he knows that it's not for your best good? And that if he's asking you to keep the Sabbath, he knows that you can be happiest only as you keep it? Dear friends, some of you have been needing to get baptized for a really long time, and you're delaying today. You're delaying. Friends, don't tarry. Arise and get baptized. Arise and call me and let me know that you've made a decision for Jesus tonight. Arise. Shake off that dirt and that dust and that sin that is weighing us down. Let us commit to Jesus today. Today. Revelation chapter 18 in closing. I want you to turn with me there. Revelation chapter 18. I've appealed to those that need to get baptized, but friends, for the rest of us, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. Revelation 18 and verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And then Jesus says in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Friends, God today is calling us to come out not only of Sodom, but of Babylon. He's telling us, my people, you got to come out before Babylon falls. And if you are found in there at the end of time, you will fall along with them. The three angels' messages are the everlasting gospel. It is good news, my dear friends. I want to remind you that if God is calling you out and to follow him and to walk this line that he's marked out for you, trust him. Trust him. It'll take faith, friends. Trust him. Because sometimes the way may seem dark, that we'll have to sacrifice certain earthly pleasures. We'll have to sacrifice some things in our life that we've had for many, many years, and God is saying, no, now is the time to give it up. But trust me, even though you'll be poorer in the world's wealth, you'll be rich in faith. Even though it might seem that everyone else seems to be making ground in their earthly treasures, God will take care of you, and he will give you heavenly treasure and joy even on this earth as you follow him. My dear friends, maybe some of you have made bad choices in the past. You've pitched your tent towards Sodom. Maybe even some of you might be bearing some of the consequences of those actions. But friends, I have good news for you. The sun still shines. The sun of righteousness, that is, still shines today. God's mercy is still lingering for you and me. And it's not too late to repent. It's not too late to say, God, I'm willing to sacrifice everything. I lay all on the altar of sacrifice. I'm willing to follow you all the way. Let us not make reasons and excuses and bargain with God. Today, if you hear his voice, don't tarry. Today, let us follow Jesus with a heart full of love for him. Today, let us learn to trust him in the good times, but especially in the difficult times. For that is a time that we have to hold on to Jesus even tighter, as he will be the one that will carry us through those dark times. Friends, faith shines brighter when we need to exercise it. Faith shines the brightest in the dark times of our life. And there are many that are suffering today, but I'm asking you, trust God. Don't linger to obey. Don't linger to follow him. Let's not be like Lot, who lingered and lost everything on this earth. Today might be that time to sell your house. Today might be that time to sell your shares. Today might be that time that you've got to give up a certain job or a certain relationship or a certain even course of study. I don't know what it is, friends. But if God has been speaking to your heart and you know it, don't delay. For lingering only hurts those around you. I want to share with you a personal story in closing. You know, over 20 years ago, I was in a relationship with a non-Adventist. And I don't know if she's watching today, because by the grace of God, she's baptized today, has married to a wonderful man with a wonderful family. And she's serving God. She even sat on the executive committee of the conference. and she's serving God with all her heart, and I praise the Lord. But you know, I delayed to obey. She was non-Adventist at the time, and I knew that God, I was a youth leader, and I knew that God wanted me to do this before I could help the youth. I knew that I had issues. And some of us, you know, we're living in this life that we know that we ought to follow God, and we find it hard to serve Him because we know that we're living a hypocritical life. Friends, there's nothing worse than having this burden of guilt upon your heart when you go to bed at night. God cannot work. He cannot help us to be a blessing. But only as we learn to follow Him step by step. And He gives us a heart full of not just love, but innocence and an uncondemned life. That we can serve Him with a heart full of assurance. Friends, today, even the smallest speck and dust can mar our whole experience with Jesus. I'm pleading with you on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we must dispense with everything that is hurtful to us. Let us learn to give God our whole heart. If you've never done that, you've never experienced His full goodness and assurance. And so in this new week, let's learn to give God everything. Let's not bargain with Him. Let's arise today and follow Him with all our hearts. Friends, if that is you, I just ask that you'd bow your heads with me. And I'm going to pray a very special prayer for you. God knows who you are. God knows who knows. God knows who needs this prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, even as we are now past the Sabbath hours and we're into a new week, the great controversy still rages on in the hearts of men and women. Lord, I don't know who is struggling here this evening, but You do. And I pray, Lord, that You would go right now to where they are. And even as those that will listen beyond this time, that You would be with them and draw close to them right now and strengthen them in this great conflict. That You would help them to see, Lord, Your love. You'd help them to see Your compassion. You'd help them to see Your arms stretched out, to ready to help and to pull them only if they would hold on, Lord. Father, please, draw close to all my brothers and sisters that are fighting against sin and the devil, and it's so difficult, Lord, but I pray that You would please be with them. For we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Father, please, be with us in this new week. Help us to set our sight on Jesus Christ. Help us to not forget this great conflict that we're in, but in a short while, it's going to be all over and we're going to be able to see You face to face. And Lord, we're going to shout out that heaven is cheap enough, that whatever You've asked us to sacrifice will not compare to the glories that You've given to us in heaven. And so Father, please, help us to see the eternal realities today. And even as we're living, help us, Lord, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. So give us strength for this new week, Lord. Guide each of us, we pray. In the loving name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray and ask. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.